Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, today featuring her sister, best-selling author, speaker, and holistic physical therapist, Sally Morgan. Are you looking for a deeper connection with your animals, exploring options in alternative healing modalities, searching for training options that you feel good about? Listen now to Sally as she interviews the top experts that answer your questions to help keep your pets naturally healthy.
Hi there. You are listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, and I am Sally Morgan, Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, a holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and your host today. You can hear this show every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on DreamVision7Radio.com. Today I'm here with my guest, Susan Collins, who has written a book called The Household Carnivore, How to Feed Your Cat a Raw Diet. And I have had the great pleasure of knowing Susan for a number of years because we met at a Tellington Tea Touch class where I have had the pleasure for several years of watching the transformation in her dog, Dina, and also in Susan's work with her. Susan Collins is a leadership coach who works with people and their animals to enhance their relationships and deepen their spiritual connections. Since 1998, Susan has had 4 dogs and 3 cats, many of whom have had significant health and behavioral issues when first adopted. All of them have thrived on a raw diet based on raw meaty bones, meat and organs, vegetables and fruit, and supplements. You can read more about her work at www.yourdogyourteacher.com. Susan first began feeding a raw diet to her dog in 2000, researching and figuring out how to feed her 75-pound, immune-compromised Australian Shepherd mix so that her chronic skin conditions went away completely and she started to truly thrive. She began feeding her first cat a raw diet after he landed in the emergency room with crystals in his urinary tract and an off-the-chart pH for the second time. Rather than feed the commercial prescription diet, she combined research with her experience of feeding her dogs and created a recipe for cat food that she made herself. Her kitty loved the food and never again had a urinary tract infection during the rest of his over 20 years of life. Her holistic veterinarian asked her to write up what she had done so she could share it with clients, and the result is her book, The Household Carnivore, How to Feed Your Cat a Raw Diet. And it's a wonderful little book. I have lots of clients have gotten it from me, and my sister has seen it, and it's just a very complete book about cats. She has given workshops for clients and staff of 2 holistic vets to teach them how to feed a raw diet and consults with clients to help them tailor their approach to their animal needs and to their own lifestyle, as well as helping them to make a switch to raw. So, Susan, I'm just so excited to finally have you on the show to talk about raw feeding for cats because many of our listeners have kitties. And I want you to tell me more about what led you to make a book available to the public from your work feeding your one kitty.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me here, Sally. My first dog and cat were both, got them about the same time, and they were both adopted. My cat, Clarence, was a feral cat who had been in a wild for probably, you know, at least 2 years before he was rescued. And he always wanted to get out, and I think he was a prime candidate for eating a raw diet because he'd probably been eating a raw diet himself long before.
By his own choice.
Exactly. So because I had this Australian Shepherd mix that I'd gotten in 1998, who basically had been found at about a third lower weight than she should have been, with no fur on her body. She was very immune-compromised, and I had been experimenting with different types of diets, but it wasn't until one day someone suggested, why don't you try a raw diet? I said, oh, I can do that? So I started reading. I got Give Your Dog a Bone by Ian Billinghurst and Natural Nutrition for Dogs and Cats by Kimothy Schultz.
Yes, and Ian has been on my sister's show several times, so listeners are familiar with the wonderful work he's done.
Great, yeah. Well, at that time, those were really the only books out there, and I read them, and I started experimenting with my dog. It probably took me two months to figure out exactly how to feed her, and in that time, it was very, very stressful for me. I was worried about a lot of things. I didn't know whether Bones would hurt her. You know, I believed him, but I wasn't sure. And I also didn't know what proportions to use. I didn't really know how much to feed. And fortunately, she kind of taught me about what she needed. And I realized that maybe I could save people the anxiety that I had felt by sharing what it was that I had done. At the time, the holistic vet that I was working with, she was part of the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association, and so she wasn't feeding or recommending raw feeding at that time, but she went back to them and started talking about it and realized, yes, she really needed to start doing this. So she was really my supporter. She encouraged me to write up what I had done. So I did for both, just summarizing what I'd done for dogs and cats. When my cat Clarence ended up with crystals in his urinary tract, I took him to the emergency vet, and of course they wanted me to put him on a commercial prescription diet, and I realized I just can't do that. You know, I know too much about ingredients.
What's in that food?
So I decided that I was going to figure it out myself. Since I'd figured it out for my dog, let me figure it out for my cat. So I got online, and, you know, it was 2000, so the internet wasn't what it is now, but I discovered Feline Future, which was an organization based on the Pottinger cat research that had been done, where Francis Pottinger had raised generations of cats and experimented by having one line eat commercial food and another line eat raw food. And he documented the health implications and behavioral implications of the two different ways of feeding, and found that those fed a raw diet were dramatically more healthy, you know, really thrived, whereas the others did not. And they had a recipe that I wound up taking and modifying based on what I had learned with my dog. And it was when we saw how well my cat did on that, that was when my vet asked me to write it up. So that's what I did.
And it's such a revolutionary change for cats to not be fed free choice dry kibble. I mean, it changes their health so, so tremendously. And people just are not really clear about one of the benefits of feeding raw to cats. Can you talk to us a little bit about what are some of the benefits you saw with the cats that you fed raw?
Yeah, definitely. Well, as I mentioned, the first thing was because the cat, Clarence, was getting more moisture in his food, his pH balanced out on its own. He didn't even need medication after, you know, the initial treatment that he got. So one of the things we know is that a lot of cats don't drink enough water, and when they eat kibble, they just don't get enough moisture in their food. So that's a huge thing, especially for male cats, for whom blockages can actually cause a lot.
And expensive surgery for the owner to pay for.
Other issues have to do with digestive issues. Well, my cats haven't had this problem because I fed them raw from a pretty early point in their lives. Some cats develop IBD, in which their intestinal processes don't work well, and they have bad diarrhea and all sorts of nutritional deficiencies as a result. And I've known cats that have immediately improved upon getting them off grains and getting them on a raw diet. Other things have to do with skin issues. Most of the both the dogs and the cats have had an improvement in their coat, an improvement in their skin. And interestingly, I've had people to my house who tell me that they're absolutely deathly allergic to cats, and they didn't know I had any cats, came to my house, and didn't have any reaction. And when they realized that I had a cat, were stunned. I've had three people who have told me this. So I suspect that it changes the chemical composition of the cat's saliva to such an extent that some people aren't sensitive to the dander and to the saliva from cleaning themselves.
Well, and the quality of their coat and their vibrancy of their health are highly related, as well as, most cats fed commercial kibble are in such a state of dishealth that they can't help but be stinky because they're literally dying inside. And feeding a cat, which is a desert critter, raw food and a high moisture diet really changes just their overall health. And it is very interesting that people who are allergic to cats have not been allergic to your cats. And that's important. I think a lot of cat lovers know people that are allergic to cats, and being able to improve that for your child or your spouse or your grandma who visits is something really important to share with people.
They clean themselves and don't get hairballs. There's no throwing up. So they also their weight is much better. You know, one of the issues for a lot of cats is not being able to handle all of the sugar that gets produced in the grain. And, some cats are prone to diabetes if they get too overweight. So I found that feeding a raw diet, the cat's weight was naturally, healthy weight. And that's huge, because then you don't have to worry about insulin or any other kinds of treatment. So those are kind of the major things. I also know from my work with my dogs that it can really help the joints. Clarence lived to be over 20 years old, and up until the very last year of his life, he could leap and jump up to anywhere he wanted. So I really think that the health of the entire animal is supported by this diet.
Yeah, it's so true. And common problems that people have with cats, urinary problems and diabetes and insulin resistance, those are really common in older cats. And those are two things that you can avoid by feeding a raw diet. It's so important to your cat's health. Are there any other benefits you've seen as a result of feeding the raw diet?
Well, teeth issues it depends on what you feed, but if you feed raw meaty bones and they have to chew, it can help keep their teeth clean, which can avoid, expensive dental visits. Clarence did end up losing some teeth, but it was because of a genetic condition where the teeth and the jaw, the common condition in modern house cats. But he didn't lose his teeth until he was quite old, and they were quite clean and had, breath that wasn't bad. I think that they also get a psychological benefit from it. If you watch cats chew the raw meaty bone, you'll see their whole body working, and I think it enables them to use their whole bodies and use their muscles in ways that they're naturally inclined to.
Oh, yeah.
They can have psychological benefits in that way because they're behaving as cats are supposed to behave.
Yeah, that's so important. I mean, people who have cats that are bored or out of shape, certainly having those bones can be so beneficial. What types of bones have you given your cats, and what do you recommend to people if they're going to try to get raw meaty bones for their kitties?
Well, let me say that, first of all, when I first started feeding, there weren't the variety of frozen and freeze-dried options to feed raw, so I wound up making it all myself. Now you have a lot more options, depending where you live, of course, to get frozen raw food. The problem with the commercial frozen food is that you don't get the benefit of them chewing the raw meaty bones. So even though I do use frozen options sometimes, I also add my own raw meaty bones because I do believe that the chewing, the teeth cleaning, and just the psychological benefits are enough to warrant doing it. Now, with a cat, I try to think of what would a cat, if feral cat or a cat living on its own, what would they eat? Well, they would eat chipmunks, mice, probably small birds, depending how big they are. So how could I imitate that as much as possible? Well, there aren't too many sources of small animals that I could get for them. But I can get chicken and I can get Cornish hen. And so what I wound up doing was feeding a variety of raw meat from different sources. You know, in addition to poultry, I would feed lamb and beef and fish. But when it came to the raw meaty bones, the only bones that I could really get were from poultry. I could have fed fish bones. Some people do, although that I've never really done that. So what I do is I have poultry shears, and I cut the chicken wings, chicken necks, chicken breast frames, chicken backs. And I figure if I can cut it with my hand, then they can cut it with their teeth. And I would just cut them into small enough pieces that would be suitable for the size of the cat. And that way, one of the reasons that we need to feed bone is that it gives the right proportion of calcium to phosphorus. If we only feed meat without any bone or calcium supplement, our cats, our animals, won't have sufficient calcium in their body to support their bones and their teeth.
And that balance is so important for heart health as well.
Exactly. So the beauty of the bone is that they eat the bone, they get the perfect natural proportion of calcium to phosphorus. There's a lot of phosphorus in the meat itself, but no calcium. So if you don't feed bones or add a calcium supplement, the body won't be able to absorb, won't have the right proportion to absorb the calcium that they do get. It needs to be in the right proportion so that they can actually absorb the calcium. So the bone is the natural source. Yeah.
Right. And were you able to get organic poultry for your cats? Did you seek that out? Probably was hard to get it at that point.
I actually did. What I wound up doing was I got on the state website. I don't know how I got to it at that point, but I found a list of organic farms or farms that raise their chickens organically, and I wound up finding a farm. And during the summer months, I would go out there once a month and I would buy chickens for both my cats and my dogs. And then I would freeze them, and I would cut them up into meal-sized packets for both types of animals, and then just take them out of the freezer as needed. So I did seek that out, mostly because my first dog was so immune compromised. I was trying to eliminate anything that might react to her. But as I learned more and more, I realized I wanted that kind of both humanely raised animal and raised on organic feed. In fact, one of the things that I learned is that chickens are not herbivores; they're actually omnivores, mm-hmm. and they need to eat the bugs and the grubs and the other animals that are in the grass. So when they're grass fed, they're much healthier, and then those obviously feeding our animals. Healthier animals will make them healthier.
Yeah, it's so true. My mother's chickens, they go out in the horse pasture every day, and they fan out and just clean that place of grubs and bugs, and it's fascinating how happy they are when they're out. And just like the horses, when they're ready to come in, they're ready to come in. And so many people don't understand that grass-fed chickens range. I mean, they've got a couple of acres they're trotting over there, and there's 8 chickens and 2 miniature horses. So having those chickens get exercise and fresh air and sunshine and adequate nutrition makes a huge difference when your pets or you are eating those chickens and their eggs.
Exactly. And I would get chickens. I do eat meat, and I could tell a dramatic difference in the taste of the chicken that was free range. I also found that, in fact, I would do this when I do workshops with people. I'd get a chicken from Whole Foods. I'd get a Bell and Evans chicken that is organically raised, but raised more in a factory kind of farming.
Right.
And I'd then bring one of my chickens from the farm that I went to, and I would show them the difference. First, there's a lot more breast meat in the factory farm-raised chicken.
Right.
And then I would take my poultry shears, and as I was cutting it up, I would show them how I could very easily cut through the factory farm chicken, but I had difficulty cutting through the leg of the free-range chicken, which makes sense, right? Just like us when we
so much stronger from running around.
They have stronger bones, right? So that also tells those animals are a lot healthier.
Well, yeah, and your cat lived to be 20. Now, you've had some other cats since then. How do you see their health impacted by what you're feeding them?
Yeah, I had a second cat about a year after we got Clarence. We got another kitten. Neighbor found a box of kittens. So my kitten, Rosalind, I fed her raw from the time I got her, and she's probably about 8 or 9 weeks old when I got her. And she lived to be over 17. So both of them were happy and ate well and were fairly disease-free. They both had kidney issues toward the end of their life, but I think it was just old age largely. And I now have a new cat who I've had for about 2 months, and she was eating kibble with the foster that she was being cared for by, which, you know, obviously rescue groups, they use kibble a lot.
Right.
And she wouldn't even try canned food. So what I did was, and believe it or not, she wouldn't even eat tuna out of a can, which I've never seen a cat not want tuna fish. But what I decided to try was to get some freeze-dried raw food because it would be more similar in texture to the dry food.
That's right.
And I started out by mixing the two together, and I let her get hungry, and she wound up eating it, and then I started leaving out the dry food, and she ate it, and then I started adding some water to it. So I haven't yet gotten her to eat the raw chicken or any other raw meat because she's turning her nose up at it, but eventually I'm going to transition her to that. It's just that she's the most finicky cat I've had.
Well, we need to take a break now to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back in a few minutes for more of our show with Susan Collins talking about how to feed your cat raw food, and we will hear more about what to do if your cat's a picky eater.
Interested in learning more? Visit physical therapist Sally Morgan's website at sallymorganpt.com, where you will find details about her upcoming speaking engagements, craniosacral therapy, and Tellington T-Touch offerings, as well as information about holistic care for animals. Join the mailing list today and be the first to learn about upcoming events and special offers. Sally Morgan is a best-selling author, and her book, Dances of the Heart, Connecting with Animals, details her journey of learning to listen to animals. Her unique set of animal connection cards offers 52 activities to enhance your relationships with the animals in your life, and she suggests that you ask your pet to choose a card each week. Both Sally's book and her cards are available on Amazon and her website, sallymorganpt.com. Join Sally Morgan PT CST Daily on Facebook for conversations with a corgi and visit YouTube for past episodes as well as Sally's TED Talk. When it comes to our pet's health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, pure New Zealand deer antler velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit LifePureRecovery.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's dental drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's dental drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Hello, and welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com. And I'm your host, holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, Sally Morgan. And I'm here with my guest today, Susan Collins, who wrote a wonderful little book called The Household Carnivore, How to Feed Your Cat a Raw Diet. And before our break, we were discussing what to do with that finicky cat. How do you transition your cat to raw? What do you do if your cat really won't give up that, as my sister calls it, kitty crack of the popular brand kibble in the bowl?
Well,
so Susan, any suggestions?
Yeah, I think cats, just like we get addicted to sugar, whether it's sugar in the form of, you know, cane sugar, or whether it's sugar in the form of flour, and so we start craving it more, and that reaction in our brain starts to be wired in. It starts to it produces dopamine that makes us feel good, and you know the same kind of thing happens in cats. Our brains are pretty similar in that regard. So just like us, we need to stop eating sugar in order to break that habit, and so doing it with cats is really important. What I'd recommend is, what I did was, I started mixing the dry food with the food that I wanted her to be eating, and I let her go hungry. If she didn't eat, I threw it out if it was there for more than a day, but I refreshed it with additional raw food. And my other two cats were much easier to switch, but they both were a little addicted to the kibble too. So what I did with them was I just went cold turkey. My cat Clarence had been a feral cat, and like I said, he was accustomed to eating raw because he probably caught it himself. So I just let him go hungry. He didn't eat it initially, but eventually he got hungry enough and he decided to try it. And after that, I had no trouble because he loved it. Same thing with my other cat, Rosalind. It took her maybe a day or two, but once she started eating it, it's like they forget that they ever had kibble. And I found that now with my new cat, Frida, as well. So I think that using hunger to your advantage, and really if you find that your cat's not eating, you may want to cut things smaller. If you're cutting up meat yourself, it might be that the pieces you're giving them are too big, so try cutting them smaller. If you're using a commercial raw product, one of the things that I've learned is that not all cats will eat vegetables. Feline Future actually doesn't include vegetables in their recipe, but they use psyllium husk as a source of insoluble fiber, and I didn't want to use psyllium husk. That didn't seem to me to be, you know, imitating what the cat would eat. If there
was any, none of that in a mouse or a chipmunk.
Exactly. So what I started thinking was, well, okay, what would a mouse? They wouldn't go and eat vegetables on their own. What they would do is they would eat the mouse or the chipmunk or the bird, and they would get semi-digested vegetables in the digestive tract of the animal. So how much would a mouse or a chipmunk eat? Not a whole lot. You know, they'd have tiny little stomachs and digestive tracts. So I realized I couldn't give my cats more than really 10% of their diet as vegetable matter, or they were going to reject it. And they have such a strong sense of smell. If you give them anything really strong smelling, they probably will reject it.
Yeah, so broccoli, not a favorite of the cats.
No. What I found is that some of the commercial products, they make their formulas, well, they might put less vegetables in them. They use the same kinds of vegetables that they use for the dog formulas. And I think that a lot of times they're too strong smelling or it's too much vegetable for them. So if you find that there's a product that your cat, you know, won't eat, but you want to use a commercial frozen product, you might have to try a different one.
Boy, that is really good advice about the vegetables, because as much as I, like a vegetarian, think all vegetables are wonderful, that's a very tiny percentage of vegetable that would be in a cat's diet.
You know, cats, like I've found some of the cruciferous vegetables, like broccoli and cauliflower, my dogs will eat them up, right, love them. The cats will say, no, not so much. You know, they would rather have romaine lettuce, you know, things that are really mild. And I mix up root vegetables with above-ground vegetables. I never use more than 25% root vegetables because they're very sugary, too. You know, carrots.
Yeah.
And sweet potatoes, great to use because there's lots of great vitamins and enzymes in them, but keeping that to a minimum, too, so it's not too much sugar. That's especially important if your animal has any kind of skin allergies, because that would feed yeast and feed other, you know, other things that are feed on sugar.
And certainly what my sister's been talking about, feeding from a Chinese medicine perspective, if you are stuck with only being able to get chicken for a cat that might be orange color and hot, you can opt for the darker meat and the bones where the darker meat is, such as on the thighs as opposed to the breasts. And that can help with skin problems as well. And turkey is readily available now.
That's always been an issue for me because I've largely used poultry for the source of raw meaty bone. When I did have a dog who was hot, and I know chicken is considered warm, whereas turkey is neutral. And, I have looked at the Chinese medicine energetics of the food. When I've had a dog that's had skin issues, I've tried to just feed them chicken bones and then supplement with other protein sources that are either cooling or neutral to try to balance that out. But it is a challenge. That's another advantage now of buying some of the commercial food, frozen raw food, is that they have machinery that can grind, say, beef bones or lamb bones that I couldn't grind at home. So I did... As I said, I usually cut it up with poultry shears. Obviously, I couldn't do that with a lamb bone or a beef bone. I do have a meat grinder that I use. It's actually by Maverick, and they will. You can look on their website, and they will tell you, do not use this, do not grind bones with this. And then on the other side of their website, they have all these testimonials from people who grind up chicken bones for their dogs. So I could only really grind the poultry bones using that machinery, but obviously the commercial makers have big equipment that they can use.
Well, and a lot of people are fortunate to have local places that source local farm-raised beef, and a lot of those places sell their leftovers as pet food, ground up bones and organs. And, you know, if you're lucky enough to live in an area like that, you're lucky for your pets as well. Can you tell us a little bit about water for cats? Because it's so important for them, and they don't tend to drink a lot of water being desert animals, and they're so finicky wanting clean water. How have you resolved that problem with your cats?
Sure. First of all, I found that when I switched to raw, my cats really didn't need to drink as much water. But, again, it depends on the cat. My cat Clarence didn't mind sharing his water with the dogs. But Rosalind, no, and Frida, definitely no. So I have a water fountain. I clean it out very frequently because, as you say, you know, it gets a little slimy and then she doesn't want it. So I probably clean it every other day. I also find that she prefers water straight out of the tap, sometimes straight out of the faucet as it's running, which I don't like to do. But she definitely wants you know, water that's fresh. And by fresh, it's really just aerated. You know, water, if you leave a glass of water overnight and you taste it the next morning, it tastes different. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just the air, the oxygen has been lost from it, and that changes the taste of the water. So I think using fountains can really help as long as you keep them clean. And otherwise, you know, you can try running tap water and seeing if your cat's interested.
Oh, lots of kitties like you to run the faucet, and that's a great suggestion. So tell us, what are some of the basic principles you follow when you try to coordinate what nutrition your cats need?
Yeah, so basically, I use certain proportions. For the most part, what I have fed, I feed raw meat, I feed raw meaty bones, I feed pulverized vegetables, I feed organ meat, and sometimes eggs, although not all cats like eggs. In fact, none of my cats have really liked egg. My dog's fine with it, obviously. So it's very important for cats to recognize that they need to have taurine added to their food. And heart has the most taurine. Well, raw meat has taurine in it, but not as high concentration as the heart, which makes sense, right? Because that's why they need taurine. Taurine is an essential amino acid that is essential to cardiac functioning, right, as well as other things. So I would include 90% of the diet for a cat is animal components. So only 10% is vegetables, and as I mentioned before, mild vegetables. And they need to be pulverized because they would only eat those vegetables in a semi-predigested state, right, because they'd be inside the animal that they ate. So from the digestive tract, the vegetable matter would be broken down by the small herbivore, right?
Right.
So pulverizing breaks down the cellulose in the vegetable matter so that they can actually digest it. And there are nutrients from that that I believe that cats need or will more mimic what they would get in the wild.
Right. I mean, they are obligate carnivores after all, so they really are carnivorous, but they can't live without vegetables at all.
They need, I think at the very least, they need the insoluble fiber in order to help have a healthy digestive system.
Right.
But there are also probably some nutrients that they absorb from the vegetables. But as you said, being obligate carnivores, it means they must have protein in order to live. Whereas I call dogs carnivorous omnivores.
They that's so true.
They won't have a vegetarian diet, but they can live on it.
Right. And what vegetables have you found that your cats like, just so people know where to look?
Yeah, like I said, I'll use 25% root vegetables and 75% above ground vegetables, and I use mild ones. I use romaine lettuce. You can probably use other lettuces as well. I'll use dandelion leaves. I'll use kale. I'll use green beans, any kind of beans. Sometimes I'll use kohlrabi. Like, I like kohlrabi, so I'll peel the kohlrabi and I'll put the peelings in. Like, that's a really good good way to use everything that you've got. If you buy some beets, for example, and they've got greens on the end, and you don't eat the greens, throw the greens in.
Perfect. Well, and all those things have a really high moisture content, which is also so important for kitties.
Right. So what I've done is I'll save like the peelings or the greens from mild vegetables like that, and then I'll pulverize them either in my food processor or I have a Vitamix, or you can use a blender if it's strong enough, and then put it in ice cube trays and let it freeze up. And you usually have to add a little water just to get it to pulverize, and then put it in the ice cube trays and freeze ice cubes. And then you'll have small amounts that you can take out and mix with the meat as you need.
That's a great suggestion, Susan. It's time for us to take another break to hear from our sponsors. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets with physical therapist for pets and people, Sally Morgan, on DreamVision7Radio.com. We'll be back in a few moments.
Interested in learning more? Visit physical therapist Sally Morgan's website at sallymorganpt.com, where you will find details about her upcoming speaking engagements, craniosacral therapy, and Tellington T-Touch offerings, as well as information about holistic care for animals. Join the mailing list today and be the first to learn about upcoming events and special offers. Sally Morgan is a best-selling author, and her book, Dances of the Heart, Connecting with Animals, details her journey of learning to listen to animals. Her unique set of animal connection cards offers 52 activities to enhance your relationships with the animals in your life, and she suggests that you ask your pet to choose a card each week. Both Sally's book and her cards are available on Amazon and her website, sallymorganpt.com. Join Sally Morgan PT CST Daily on Facebook for conversations with a corgi, and visit YouTube for past episodes as well as Sally's TED Talk. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit LifePureRecovery.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, and I'm holistic physical therapist and Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, Sally Morgan. And we're here with my guest today, Susan Collins, author of The Household Carnivore, How to Feed Your Cat a Raw Diet. And Susan has been telling us about how to formulate that diet for your cat. Tell us more about the animal components of that diet.
Sure. So the proportions that I use are that of the remaining 90% of the diet, 60% should be raw meaty bones. And a raw meaty bone is about two-thirds bone and one-third meat. So you might imagine a perfect raw meaty bone is a chicken neck because of the proportion of bone to meat. Chicken wings as well. I often use chicken breast frames after the breast meat has been taken off. It's about two-thirds, one-third. And then the remaining 40% is going to be a combination of muscle meat and organ meats. And I would shoot for generally 30% muscle meat and 10% organ meat. So, again, that would be 60% raw meaty bone, 30% muscle meat, and 10% organ meat. And the organ meat should include liver and heart. Including heart is very important because of that taurine. But you can also use other kidneys and liver is important for the vitamin A, and those are the two that are probably the most readily available as well. So One of the things that I want to mention is that some people are worried about bone because they hear bones, won't that cause a problem? And it's really, as long as the bone is uncooked, raw, it won't cause a problem. And if you need to think about it, when a cat catches a bird or catches a chipmunk, they're eating the whole body. They might leave the skull because they can't chew through it. But other than that, they're even eating some of the feathers and some of the fur, right? And that helps with gut motility and moving things through the digestive system.
Yeah, fiber.
Exactly. So basically, as long as the bone is raw, as long as it's in these kinds of proportions that would imitate what they would get if they were eating a whole animal, then they're going to be fine. Now, some people are worried about bacteria. They worry about E. coli. They worry about salmonella. And in healthy animals, those typically aren't a problem if you're feeding human-grade ingredients. I've always bought meat and raw meaty bones that came from human-grade sources. I don't recommend doing otherwise because you just don't know how they've been treated.
Sister really cautions about, you know, going to the grocery store and just picking up a chicken. You definitely got to source the best quality organic one that you can because there's so many chemicals and bacteria on human-grade food that has been made to be cooked.
Exactly. And so that's a consideration. That said, cats and dogs have much higher acidic stomachs than we do, and they can handle bacteria. If you think about it, they're eating things in the wild. They're designed to handle more bacteria because of the acidity of their stomach, but also they have a much shorter digestive tract. So the food is not staying as long in their bodies. So even if there's a high amount of bacteria, they're eliminating it pretty fast. If you think about how often your animals defecate, it goes through their system fairly fast, whereas with us, it stays in the system a long time, going through all those miles
intestines.
If you're worried about that, you can do a couple of things. There's something called grapefruit seed oil, not grapeseed oil, but grapefruit seed. And you can soak the meat in that, and that kills the external bacteria. You can also use food-grade hydrogen peroxide in the same way. I have to admit, I've never done either, and I've never had a problem. But as you said, Sally, I've always sourced organically raised animals that haven't gone through the factory farm process. So I know that the bacteria content was in manageable range. If I had a cat who was immune compromised, I might lightly cook the meat at first. You don't have to cook it through, but just heat it enough to kill off some of the surface area bacteria. Because it's a bacterial load that would be the problem, not any.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. Even for people transitioning to raw, that's also a great idea.
Yeah. One of the things that's important to remember is that anytime you're buying food, you have that issue. So to be worried about it just because you're feeding raw, I don't think that is a something that needs to be of concern.
Are there any other risks that you see with transitioning to raw for your cats, or except for that, is it all beneficial?
Those are really the main risks. With dogs, there's often, if you're giving bigger pieces of bone, you might have to, some people worry about impaction. I haven't found that that's problem with the cats because the cats chew a lot. You know, if you look at their teeth, they rip and their teeth are all pointed and sharp, and so they rip and they rip and tear the meat and the bone. And I haven't had any problems. So just I would say that if you're at all worried about that, cut the pieces small or grind it so that you don't have to worry about that.
So talk about some of the options people have if they want to transition to raw feeding their cats.
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to help people do is realize that there's no one right way to do this. So now there are a lot of commercial products. I see there are three different options. One is buying commercial raw frozen food, and they also have freeze-dried options now that you can add water to. Making a cat food yourself by grinding it all, if you're more comfortable with that, or if your cat simply won't chew the bones, or if they have tooth problems. And then third, the option to make it by cutting up the raw meaty bones and the meat and adding the pulverized vegetables and supplements, which I haven't really spoken to very much. But those, any combination of those that suits your lifestyle can be fine. So one of the things about commercial raw food is that it's packaged in certain sizes, and so you're kind of stuck to the size of the food. Defrosting it, you might have, you know, three 1-ounce patties, but you only feed your cat, you know, 2.5 ounces at a meal. So what do you do with that extra ounce? So you're somewhat constrained by how the commercial product is frozen. That might not be such a big issue for you, or it might be. Making cat food yourself is great because you can control all the ingredients, but it takes time.
I have clients that make a bunch on Sunday and then freeze it in little bundles, but it still takes time.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And what I would usually do is make it and then freeze it in meal-sized packets and then put those in the freezer so that I could just take them out the night before. And you can either, you know, take them out, put them in the refrigerator to defrost, or on the counter, depending on how long it's going to be out. And one of the nice things about creating your own is you can adjust the proportions. So if you have a cat who doesn't like certain vegetables or doesn't like, you know, certain types of meat, you can include what you want. And I think having that control can be very helpful. The one problem with making your own is that they don't get to chew on the raw meaty bones. So making meals where you're basically imitating those proportions of, you know, 60% raw meaty bone, 30% muscle meat, 10% organ meat, and then the pulverized vegetables, you can have a lot of control over the meals that way. And I like that because the cats then get the chance to use all those muscles and chew as they would if they were getting their own food. That said, it does take a little bit more forethought to be able to do it all. So you can do any of these in combination depending on your needs. If you travel and you need other people to take care of your cat while you're gone, you're to give them something that's already pre-made and pre-portioned out. But any combination of those can be helpful, and I just want to make it clear that there's no one right way to do it. It's really more about the cat's needs and what fits into your lifestyle and your budget.
Can you tell us a little bit about the supplements, and also how much do we feed our cats?
Sure. I usually start with feeding the cat 3% of their body weight if they're in healthy weight. I have a formula in a table in my book that gives you the formula, and that's one of the most stressful things I think I found. Like, nobody knows, you know, how much do I feed? So what you basically do is take, like, suppose you have a 10-pound cat, and you want to feed 3% of their body weight in ounces. So you'd multiply 10 pounds times 16 ounces per pound times 3%, and that would give you 4.8 ounces. And if you're dividing that into two meals per day, which is what I'd recommend, it would be 2.5 ounces per meal, 2.4. And so I would start there, see how your cat is doing. If the cat starts losing weight, then you would give more, obviously. And if they gained weight, they would use less. So that's a great rule of thumb for starting.
And what about if you're starting with, you know, a commercially fed cat who's, like, really overweight? Do you guess at what his ideal weight would be to feed him the amount he needs?
Yeah, I would base it on the ideal weight. Definitely. So what I've found is that when both cats and dogs, when they are first switched to raw, they eat more food than they ultimately need. So I've had all my animals, after the first couple of months of eating raw, I've actually cut back on how much food they were eating because I found that they gained some weight. I think what's happening is that their body adjusts and is really taking advantage of the better nutrition. And
I've seen that in my own dog. Can you tell us a little bit about the supplements, too, before we run out of time?
I feed fish oil, good with the omega-3s. As long as you're feeding heart, you don't need to add calcium, but if you're not feeding heart, you should add a calcium, and there's a great one by Animal Essentials made from seaweed. In addition, you might want a vitamin supplement, although, frankly, I haven't really used them and haven't had a problem, but if you're nervous about it, there's some great canine and feline vitamin supplements out there, and I'd recommend Lou Olson, who has a website called bee-naturals.com. She's an animal nutritionist who feeds raw, and she's designed a bunch of supplements to be used with a raw diet. It's important to not use the ones that are geared for feeding with a kibble diet, because kibble already has vitamins and minerals added to them, and so the vitamins you might get at the pet store would probably be more likely geared for that. So you have to just check and make sure that you're getting something that that is suited to a raw diet.
Well, thank you so much, Susan. And don't forget Dr. Judy Morgan's wellness tabs for dogs on a raw diet. And you can check her website for information for cats for supplements. And thank you so much, Susan. It's been just such a pleasure to have you here to talk about your book, The Household Carnivore, How to Feed Your Cat a Raw Diet. And that is available on Amazon. And then also you can find out more about Susan at her website, www.yourdogyourteacher.com, where she has some pages about raw feeding for dogs and cats. And this week you've been listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets today with your host, Sally Morgan, holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and Dr. Judy's sister. And this has been on DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit DrJudyMorgan.com to learn more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.